Hey, are you struggling to stand firm in your faith, push through tough times, or make a difficult decision? Well, today you're in the right place. Because today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we're going to bring our powerful series called Uncommon Courage to a close. Now, in this series, you'll discover how to stand boldly for the truth, persevere through challenges, and step out in faith. You won't want to miss a single day of Daily Hope because the courage you need starts with God. And now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called The Courage to Follow Your Calling.
If I'm going to be what God wants me to be, I've got to say, okay, God, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to trust you, and I believe that you can do it through me. I'm going to believe that I can do it even if I'm scared. Here's the second thing you got to do if you're going to fulfill the calling God has on your life. I must be willing to reject negative advice. I must be willing to reject negative advice if I'm going to follow my calling in life. I can tell you story after story of this one in my own life. You know, when 1979, I was finishing up seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. And I felt like God was calling me. This was my calling to come to Southern California and start this church. And so I phoned a guy that I had a lot of respect for. And I called him up. He lived in Oklahoma at the time. And I told this man, I said, I think God is calling me to move to Southern California and start a church. You know what he told me? Rick, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. He said, you'll go out to California, you'll never be heard from again. It's not going to happen. And he just kind of took cold water and poured it on. And I thought, okay, now wait a minute. I know God's telling me to do this. But here's a guy telling me not to. Let me tell you something. Anytime you get serious about using your life the way God wants you to use it, all hell's going to break loose. There are going to be people who oppose it. You're going to have friends, maybe even family members, who oppose you. Because Satan's going to throw everything he can at you to keep you from fulfilling your calling. It's not going to be a walk in the park. In fact, a walk in the park in some cities will get you killed. And so if you're going to fulfill your calling, there will be people who are negative against it, and you can expect that. In fact, to fulfill your calling in life, you're probably going to have to ignore popular opinion. That's why so few people actually fulfill the calling that God has for their life. You got to be willing to go against proper opinion. Look what happened. Numbers 14, verses 2. All the Israelites grumbled, and they said, if only we had died in Egypt or in the desert. Why is the Lord taking us to a new country only to die in battle? Let's go back to Egypt where we all lived all our lives. You understand what they're saying? They said, we prefer safety in slavery. Rather than going and doing what God had called them to do, they said, we'd rather go back to the old way of life. We'd go back to that old cold codependency. I want to go back to that old way of living. This is scary. Something new, something different. I'm frightened. I might get hurt. At least it was safe back in Egypt. I was a slave, and I'll go back to being enslaved by my addiction, by my relationships, by my past, by my guilt. What slavery are you willing to go back to rather than go forward and take a risk? Caleb had uncommon courage. He said, okay, I'm going to believe I can do it, even if I'm scared, and I'm going to be willing to reject negative advice. In fact, it wasn't just negative advice. Look at the next verse. Numbers 14:10 says this. The whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. They're going to kill the two guys. And this is like not this kind of stoned. It's real stones. Okay? The whole community began talking about stoning Joshua and Caleb, but the glorious presence of the Lord appeared and to all of Israel from the tabernacle. You know, I love the fact that God's presence saved Caleb and Joshua, and that'll happen in your life too. Pioneers always get the arrow in the back. You got to be willing to reject negative advice if you're going to go after God's calling on your life. Third thing, I must believe it's never too late. If I'm going to follow my calling in life, what God wants me to do with the rest of my life, I've got to believe it's never, never, never too late. Remember The 12 spies went into the land. They said, it's too hard. It's a great place, but we can't take on. So God says, because of your unbelief, you can all wander around the desert for another 40 years. And he let that entire generation die because that generation wouldn't believe. But Caleb believed and Joshua believed, and they got to live. And now they come back 40 years later. Caleb's now 85 years old on the second chance. And notice here, Joshua chapter 14, they come up to the promised land 40 years later. Caleb says, I'm now 85 years old, but I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. And I'm just as ready to fight as I was then. So give me the mountain region. That's the most difficult area. Give me the mountain region that the Lord promised me that day long ago. I love that. Give me the mountain region. And he says, you know the giants live there, and the cities are large with great walls. You know what I love about Caleb? He's saying, give me the toughest spot. Give me the biggest assignment. Give me the hardest city. Give me the place with the biggest giants. Give me the mountain region. I don't want some easy place. I know I'm 85 years old, but I still got it in me. And I believe it's never too late. You know, I was... last week, I went into Rite Aid to buy a birthday card, a one-year-old birthday card for my youngest grandchild, for Claire. And she turned one this last week. And while I was there, I saw something I've never seen before in American greeting card sections. They now have an entire section that says birthday cards for your 80th birthday, your 85th birthday, your 90th birthday, your 95th birthday, your 100th birthday. Now, friends, growing up, I didn't see those kind of cards. You know why? Because everybody's living longer now. When my dad was born, the average age of a man, an American man, he lived an average age of 76. That average expectation, life expectancy has gone up 12 years in his lifetime. I talked to a doctor here in the area this week. He said, Rick, I have 13 patients who are over 100. So, you know, I took Pastor Glenn out to lunch for his birthday this last week. He was 72. I said, Glenn, what do you intend to do for the next 30 years of your life? Some of you think it's time to hang it up, and I'm telling you, get it down, dust it off. The best is yet to come. You're part of the Caleb generation, okay? You're part of the Caleb generation. You think God's going to let you live 30 years just to play golf? Are you kidding me? You know, there's a word that's not in the Bible. It's called retirement. Now, you may stop working, but you still keep serving the Lord. Maybe in earlier years you were paid to good. Now you're good for nothing. And the fact is, you have more wisdom, you have more experience, and God does not want to waste that. And Caleb, at 85 years old, was beginning the greatest life mission of his life. I want to remind you that Moses' life didn't actually even start till he was 80. It was 80 when God called him. He heard the burning bush and said, you're going to go set people free. He was 80 years old when that happened. I want to remind you that Abraham was 79 when God called him. And he was in his 90s when God actually really started working in his life. Some of you are in the Caleb generation. You're in the over 40 generation. And I'm saying to you, you have to believe that it's never too late to start on your life calling. It's never too late. Abraham was old. Moses was old. I give you all kinds of stories of guys in the Bible that God didn't even use until later on in life. And here with Caleb, he's 85 years old. Now, I've got to believe I can do it even if I'm scared. I've got to be willing to reject negative advice. And the third thing is, I want to follow my calling. I've got to believe it's not too late. I can get started even if I'm right on the edge or in retirement. Now, the next three steps, I want to go from the opposite generation, from Timothy. And so turn your outline over, and here are three lessons we learn about your life calling from the younger generation. Timothy was a very young man. The opposite of Caleb. He was a very young man, just getting started. He had traveled with Paul, and then Paul says, I'm going to send you to a new city called Ephesus, and I'm going to have you help start a church there and help grow it, and you're going to help lead it. And Timothy, don't be scared. Timothy had a problem with panic attacks. Timothy had a problem with fear. And God had to say to him, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so what do we learn from the life of Timothy? The younger generation, what do we learn from him? Well, write these down. If I'm going to fulfill my calling, I must develop the gifts God gave me. I've got to develop the gifts that God gave me. Let me read you a couple verses. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 and 14, 15. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young. Now, this is talking to you who are under 40 here. Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, but be an example for the believers in your speech, in your conduct, in your love, your faith, and purity, and do not neglect, that means develop, the spiritual gift that is in you. Practice these things. What does practice mean? You do it over and over so you can get good at something. Practice these things. Devote yourself to them. Develop your talents. Devote yourself to them in order that your progress may be seen by all. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says this to Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Fan into flame. In other words, develop it. Make the most of it. Through the laying on of hands, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and a self-discipline. Now let me talk to those of you who are under 40. As a young adult, your number one responsibility before God is to develop your talent. That's the number one thing God wants you to do, to cultivate your talent that he's going to use in the rest of your life. Develop the gift God has given me. The second thing you're supposed to do is the next thing. Write this down. Refuse to be distracted. Refuse to be distracted by other things. If God has put a call on your life, if God wants to use your life for his purpose and his glory, don't you dare get distracted by things that are second in importance. God tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right, and God will save you and those who hear you. The easiest thing to do as a young adult is get sidetracked. Get sidetracked by building your business, building your family, building your career, building your savings. And there's more things to distract you than anything before. You can waste your life watching Gangnam Style YouTube videos and a whole bunch of other things. But you got to refuse to be distracted. 1 Timothy 6, Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. That's your calling. Avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. Some people have wandered off from the faith by following such foolishness. You know, don't get involved in like these online discussions that just waste your time and energy and distract you. I've got a plan for your life. I've got a purpose for your life, Timothy. I've got a calling on your life. Develop the gift that God gave you and refuse to be distracted. Stay single focused. I would have to say the one thing that I have done right in my life is I have stayed single focused. I haven't always done everything right. I've made a lot of mistakes. But as a young man, I focused my life. And I said, I'm not going to get distracted by a lot of other things. And I kept focused. And this is what God is saying here. Develop your gift. Refuse to be distracted. And number six is give God my very best. That's the third thing I do. I give God my very best. If I want to fulfill the purpose that God has given me, if I want to follow my calling, I believe I can do it even if I'm scared. I'd be willing to reject negative advice. I believe it's never too late. I develop the gift God's given me. I refuse to be distracted, and I give God my very best. 1 Timothy 6 says this, run your best in the race of life and win eternal life for yourself, for it was to this life that God called you. Circle the word called. You are called by God, and you are to run your best in the race of life so you win the race. It was to this life that God has called you. Now, these are two very, very different men, and they're 1,000 years apart, and one of them's old and one of them's young. And everybody here today, you're either part of the Caleb generation or you're part of the Timothy generation. But the principles are the same to fulfill your calling in life. What was the impact of these two men? Very different men. What was the impact on them? Well, look there on your outline. Philippians 2:20, Paul says about Timothy, I have no one else like Timothy. Anybody ever else said that about you? Can you imagine a greater epitaph? Say, there was nobody in the world like that person. They were so focused. They were so God's person. That was God's man. That was God's woman. They were so focused. There was nobody else like them. They were so committed to the call of God on their life. Nobody could distract them. Nobody could discourage them. They gave God their best. They developed their gifts, and they said, I don't care. I'm going to make it work. I have nobody like Timothy. What does God say about Caleb? The next verse. God said, because my servant Caleb has a different spirit. In other words, there's nobody like him either. He's different from everybody else. He's following my calling. And he follows me wholeheartedly. I will give him the land he went to and his generations following will inherit it. That's a legacy. Let me talk to both generations at once right now. You may be in the Timothy generation or you may be in the Caleb generation, but God still has a call on your life. And God says, I want to be able to say this about you. There was nobody else like them. And they followed me so wholeheartedly, I blessed their family for multiple generations after that. Wouldn't you like to have your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, and your great-great-great-grandkids being blessed because of your commitment to Christ? I'm the fourth generation in a long line of dedicated Christians. I am reaping the spiritual benefit of my father and my mother and my grandfathers and grandmothers and great-grandfathers and go back. And I'm still reaping the benefits of prayers that they prayed. You say, man, I wish I had that heritage. You be that heritage. You start it. So that four generations from today, somebody is saying about you, they started a thing, and I am being so blessed today because of my great-grandmother. That's you. Or my great-grandfather. That's you. They followed their calling. They were a Caleb. They were a Timothy. They had impact and legacy in the world. Those of you who are over 40, this church needs your wisdom. This church needs your experience to fulfill what God has called this church to do. And you're not here by accident. Those of you who are under 40, Timothy, generation, this church needs your creativity. This church needs your energy. And you're not here by accident. So what about your calling? Let me just tell you two stories. I wish I could share with you all the stories of the impact of this church around the world that I hear on a weekly basis. But I just heard this one recently about, you know, in Sudan, they went through a big civil war there. And there's now a new nation of South Sudan. But that new nation of South Sudan has been in ruin from years of war, and it's extremely poor. And our church, we delivered through our peace relief team to South Sudan about 60 tons of food where babies were starving to death in South Sudan. When the top government official in that area heard that there were Americans delivering 60 tons of food, he said, I want to find out who these Mzungus are, which is the word for white folks in Africa. And so he asked our peace team to come over and meet with him. We didn't know, you know, if they're going to get in trouble or, you know, what. But they go over there, and this high-ranking Sudanese official says, so what are you doing here in our country? And they said, well, we're here on peace relief, and we've just brought in food, and we're helping train pastors, and we're planting churches and doing all the different kinds of stuff. And they said, we're part of a thing called the Peace Plan from Saddleback Church. This Sudanese official sat up in his chair. He leaned forward. He said, the church where Rick Warren's pastor? They kind of held their breath, because it could go either way on that one. And they said, yes. And he leaned into our team and he said, let me tell you my story. He said, because of your church, Saddleback Church, my life was changed. He said, this nation went through a horrible civil war. And at the height of the war, I was displaced and I had to flee for my life. And I fled across the border as a refugee. And while I was being displaced, rather than being in a refugee camp, a Christian family took me in. And they took me to their church, a Pentecostal church. And the first Sunday I went there, that church was starting a thing called 40 Days of Purpose. And they gave me a book and a Bible, and I read it, and I began to discuss it. And he says, I've read it over and over and over and over and over, and it changed my life. It changed my family. It changed the way I serve my country now as a leader. And I want to read you this direct quote. Would you please tell the church, thanks from our new nation for this food, but please send people who will train our pastors and our leaders to live a life on purpose, a purpose-driven life in the future of our new country, that it will be carried out by the churches in our nation because they need this training desperately. And he said this three times, please, please, please tell your church. Friends, we're not gonna leave that guy hopeless and helpless. We're not gonna leave this guy stranded. We're gonna help him. But we're not just gonna do that. We're gonna keep on helping people around the world. This is what it means to fulfill your calling. The fact that you're a part of this church means that part of your calling has to do with what God brought you here to do. It's not just about you. In fact, it's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not about me, it's not about you. It's about God's great plan for the purpose of his planet. Let me tell you another story that happened this week. One of our staff members got a phone call from an Englishman living in Spain. He said, is this Saddleback Church? And the staff member said, yes. He said, I just lost my only daughter and I'm grieving. And as I'm going through all of her things, the only thing that I could find to connect her to anyone or anybody else was some Saddleback Church materials, outlines, sermons, stuff like that. He said, I want to give my estate to Saddleback Church for what they did for my daughter. The man who took it on staff said, well, you know, we have two things in common. Both of us have lost our only daughter. And both of us are going to see our daughters again in heaven. Now, let me close there on your outline with a couple verses. This is my life verse, Acts 13:36. David served God's purpose in his generation, and then he died. Now, friends, that is the finest definition of a successful life you'll ever find anywhere. I want it put on my tombstone when I die, that I served God's purpose in my generation, then I died. I want it people to be able to say that about you when you die, that you served God's purpose in your generation, and then you died. You served God's purpose, that which never changes, but you did it in your generation, that which is constantly changing. You did that which is eternal, but you did it in a relevant way. You did the timeless in a timely way. You served God's purpose. You fulfilled your calling in your generation, whether it's the Timothy generation or it's the Caleb generation. Then you died. Who wants to be around here anyway after God's through with us? We're going to heaven, where we're meant to be forever and ever and ever. But if you're alive and you're still breathing, God did not put you here on earth to watch TV and to blow your life and just do nothing. You weren't. If you're alive, he wants you to serve his purpose in your generation. You say, Rick, I don't have what it takes. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Whether you're Caleb and you're old, or you're Timothy and you're young, you have what it takes because Christ is in you. The last verse says this, Faithful is he who calls you, and he is also will bring it to pass. If God calls you to do something, to help on a national campaign, if God calls you to do something, to help in a global church plant, then he's going to give you the power to do it. God does not call the equipped. God equips the called. He calls you, then he gives you the ability to do it. Let's bow our heads. Father, there are many here who've always wondered what they were created to do. May they take their first step in following their calling. If you haven't yet opened your life to Jesus Christ, that's where you need to begin. You need to say, Jesus Christ, I need to know you. I need to trust you. I need your forgiveness in my life. Just say that. Say, dear God, thank you that you designed me for a unique calling. I realize that only I can fulfill my God-given calling. And I want to be like Caleb, and I want to be like Timothy. I want to believe that I can do it even though I'm scared to death. I want to be willing to reject negative advice. People say it can't be done. Like Caleb, who was 85 years old, I want to believe it's never too late. And like Timothy, I want to develop the gifts that you've given me. I want to refuse to be distracted. And I want to give God my very best. I want to serve your purpose in my generation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just prayed to receive Jesus, congratulations. We would love to send you some free materials to help you along on your spiritual journey. Just email rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. You know, the Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. Do you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or just kids in the neighborhood that need to know God loves them and has a great plan for their lives? You can help them get closer to God. Yes, by encouraging them to read God's Word. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about a very special resource just for kids called God's Big Plans for Me. Now, this is a storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. This 223-page hardcover children's book includes 40 well-loved Bible stories to help kids engage with God's Word. Now, each Bible story has an introduction from Pastor Rick that helps young readers understand the Word of God, and a closing thought with practical steps boys and girls can take to discover God's big plans for them. Their eyes will light up as they turn the beautifully illustrated pages and really start to get what God wants to say to their young hearts and minds. God's Big Plans for Me is so much more than just a book filled with cute pictures of Bible characters. It's a fun, effective way to introduce children to God's everlasting truth. And this book makes a great gift. You'll want to get a copy for every child in your life. So be sure to request God's Big Plans for Me Storybook Bible when you give a gift to help Daily Hope reach people everywhere with God's love and truth. Just go to PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's PastorRick.com, and that's got two R's in the middle, or just text the word HOPE to 70309. And we thank you so much for your support. It means so much to us at Daily Hope. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.